The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Oh,
man, it doesn't show.
I am so jealous of people who have a snow day today.
I know. It looks like people are having fun. But you know who's not having fun? There are people who have been on the roads for over an hour not getting anywhere.
Yeah, whose fault is that? No snow plows out?
Well, there's supposedly 100 of them. There are 100 of them. Which is,
I saw some on the freeway. I saw a snow plow on I-5. That's WashDOT. But Seattle DOT, where are they? I had to, Nicole said she almost died coming down the hill.
I almost did.
To the radio station.
Which hill?
It was on Lynn, and I came down, and I just bounced off of the curb the whole way down, and a couple times my car flipped sideways, but then I would just hit my tire right, and I would go back the other way, and like the cars at the top would just wait for one to get down. It was treacherous.
I know, I'm hearing it over and over again, like, where are the snowplows?
Right.
Or the sign saying, do not drive, because you couldn't tell until you turned down it.
Hey, Sam Zimbabwe, where are the snow plows?
Hey, he doesn't have to answer about his name. How about just tell us where the snow plows are?
He released a statement about his name.
Yep.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. They wrote to us and they said, we've been paying attention to Dory's interest.
We're following
in Sam's,
it.
Yeah, we're following Dory's interest.
Obsession.
In Sam's name. And they now have explained why he changed his name about 10 years ago and that he might come on the show sometime in mid to late February. He might. So Sam.
Right now he's busy with the snow.
Mr. Zimbabwe, why don't we get some salt down on the streets? Because this is what forced Nichols out of office, right? Should we absolve the new guy since he's only been on the job for a couple of weeks? And wasn't it Nichols who got pretty much drummed out because there was a dusting of snow?
Well, I think there were several things, but I think that was like the final straw, so to speak.
Yeah.
Final snow.
Greg Nichols didn't want any salt on the roads because he was afraid that it would get into Puget Sound.
Well, I think
is salt water.
I think one of the issues was the whole, he lives in West Seattle, and I think there were people complaining that roads over there were plowed,
sure,
but other roads were not.
Gotta take care of number one when you're in government. Take care of...
I mean, that was the allegation.
Well, yeah, just a mere allegation. So anyway, if I have any trouble coming home today, I will immediately call for the resignation of Jenny Durkin and Sam Zimbabwe. If I have any trouble at all. But it's cold. I was just walking outside. Because here's my thought.
30 degrees.
Yeah.
A high today of 32.
And I'm a little mad at myself because I should have brought a sled in. And so I was thinking, because there's a real steep hill right outside the back door of the radio station, and it's closed to traffic. And I was thinking, well, I could do one of my little radio stunts and sled down that hill live. And then Nicole, being the wet blanket that she is, she says, well, if you're going to do that, will you do it toward the end of the show? So we won't have to get somebody to fill in for you for quite as long if get hurt.
His idea is to ride on a shovel. I was like,
yeah, since
that
I don't
seems
have a sled.
Like a bad idea, but maybe a piece of cardboard or something like that.
No, can ride a snow shovel down a nicey hill.
Yeah, in all honesty.
And have it come back and break your nose.
If you break your nose, you're lucky. And in all honesty, if there are cars parked, that's just not a good idea to go down those hills.
There's another thing between your legs that it can break, but I'm not having any more kids. So what do I care? So that's what I'm thinking about. We're thinking about maybe going sledding live because I'm glad to be here today. But my wife, who works in the school, she starts getting notices last night that it's going to be 2 hours late. And then our phones start ringing like crazy in the middle of the night. Now school is canceled. And then I'm trying to get just a little extra sleep this morning. And my youngest daughter, who's living at home, all of a sudden, she yells at the top of her lungs, snow day! Because her work, she didn't have to go in today. They told her to work from home.
I love her.
And And it turns out I'm the only person in my family who's working today.
Okay, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all working.
No, in my family, I said, you're my radio family. But no, I would love to just be home sledding today, playing in the snow, putting on my warm ski pants and bopping down the hill.
And are we saving the audio of you and Brock trying to save the day today?
Well, I thought that Chris and I could talk about it in a couple minutes. I'll just briefly. So when I got here this morning, there's a Metro bus that was stranded right on East Lake. And it's one of those big articulated buses. And so about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes after I arrived, Brock Heward comes walking into the newsroom. He goes, Dory, Sully, Todd. He goes, you think the four of us could push this Metro bus and get it going? And so I'm in.
So, Sully was in. Everyone was in.
Yeah.
Heather was running out there.
We're all in.
I was taping.
Yeah, and I wasn't doing it for any social media purposes, but I'm all in. I was thinking how ironic it would be if I died trying to help mass transit in the Seattle area. That would be like the ultimate irony of all time. But I was happy to try to help.
I'm only chuckling at your how you posed it there. Not that the idea of you dying would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, me dying would decidedly not be funny. Although, if I died by getting literally thrown under a bus, I would admit that that was kind of funny. If that's how I were to go, after all I've said about Seattle Transit, yeah, even I would find humor in that, in my dying breaths.
The wedge there, so it won't roll back on.
Okay, so that's Brock trying to convince the bus driver, because the bus driver, he's been stuck there for 4 hours. And Brock says, look, if four of us push, because he was getting a little bit, and it's an articulated bus.
But if something happened to you, in all honesty, he would be in huge trouble.
And that's what he said. He said, no, safety first.
Yeah.
And we're trying to convince him to let us push his bus. His big articulated Metro bus.
They're on the way?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Cairo team is here to help. The radio team is here to help.
How long have you been here?
Maybe 4 hours.
Okay. So anyway, we're out on the streets trying to get Seattle moving. I'm doing what the politicians either cannot or will not do. I'm actually trying to get Seattle moving today.
Were there passengers in the bus?
No. It'd been sitting there for 4 hours.
Okay.
No, they had long since dispersed.
Yeah.
And he didn't have chains. I think he hit the roads before. He had chains on one side, which made no sense to me at all. That's like rowing a boat with one oar.
I think I saw that bus driving in at around 8 this morning.
Well, it was still out there.
Oh, it was,
yeah. Yeah. So we tried. That's the bottom line here. Okay, one of the people who went out there with me, let's talk a little more with him about that, about how we're handling this region-wide with the traffic. He also drove through the tunnel this morning, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Well, just minutes before I went on the air today, we attempted a heroic rescue as Brock Heward, he was the ringleader, but he got Chris Sullivan, Todd Herman, and me. And the four of us were determined to go push a Metro bus that has been stuck right in front of the radio station for more than 4 hours now, sliding on the ice. Chris Sullivan is with me. And he wouldn't take our assistance.
Yeah, there was something weird about, I don't know, liability and us getting killed if the bus rolled back on us. But we understood the risks, and we were willing to take it.
How ironic would it be if my life was cut short by mass transit?
And someone, you were literally thrown under the bus.
Yeah, what would that say about irony?
That would be a fitting epitaph if there ever was one. It'd be Dory Monson, on time, on budget, killed by mass transit.
But it was kind of exhilarating, just the idea that we could free this guy. It was an articulated bus,
biggie,
too. which means perhaps the four of us have delusions of grandeur that we would think we could push an articulated bus to get free on the
ice. Have you seen Todd Herman's arms?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And Brock's leg. Yeah, they're pretty well put together people.
Yeah.
You and me, we'd have been there for whatever we had.
I got some pretty powerful legs.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I could lean into it with my tree stumps. Okay.
Yeah, he got out early before they chained up the Metro buses. And so, yeah, that was... Big mistake.
Yes, it was. Okay, I had to make adjustments to get here because the hills around the radio station are brutal. So I got off on 45th in the U District, Roosevelt to come down here.
That's exactly what I did at 3:45 this morning. Because it was either get off at Mercer with that decline there, but I don't trust that sweeping downhill right-hand turn getting off at Mercer from I-5. And also, it's so blind, you don't know if there are things stacked up behind it, and you turn into something where you got to slam on your brakes. So, yeah, 45th was the best option for both of us, definitely.
Do they handle this well, the city?
It's hard to tell because we got so much snow and it kept coming that as they plowed or sanded or treated, it continually got laid over the top. I didn't see as many... crews out there as I would have liked to, but I wasn't out there. But I know the Department of Transportation. I was really surprised how little treatment I saw on the freeways until later on in the morning. But again, that's more anecdotal. They had 100 trucks working out there. A couple were knocked out of commission because they got into accidents last night because of the weather.
Yeah.
So they lost a couple of trucks. But getting out of your neighborhood was terrible. But I've never been on I-5 for as long as I have been, where you couldn't see the lines on the freeway.
Right.
I mean, all the way from north of Linwood, almost all the way down to Northgate before you could actually start seeing the lane markers. So that was pretty hairy this morning.
Was like the cowboys in the big SUVs who decide to go flying by you on the left at about 65 miles an hour when you can't see the lines.
Yeah, that's what really gets me that early in the morning, too, is when you've got a lot of room and no one knows where the lines are, right? So you're kind of hovering over, and then you see him coming up on your rear end, and you're like, okay, I would get over, but it's not safe to because there's a car on my right. I know if he loses it, he's going to take me with him. But yeah, I'm always amazed. I mean, I drive an SUV. I'm a reasonably good driver, but there was no reason to go more than 45 miles an hour on the freeway at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You didn't need to be going 60. And I saw people in front wheel drive doing it too. I'm like, I'm going to see you in the ditch in about 2 miles. Or then you have the other side of the spectrum where someone who really shouldn't be out there, who's going 20 on the freeway.
Yeah.
You know, if you're that worried, just stay home.
Yeah. You're in danger.
Cause you're in danger to yourself and to others. Cause if you're coming, the last thing you want anybody to do is to hit the brakes hard when you can't see the pavement, because you'll just lock it up no matter what you have. Four-wheel drive doesn't keep you from slipping on ice.
Well, at least you have a couple of tire grooves, and if you have to move over a lane, a non-existent lane, then you're up on that just gets more dangerous. It's always interesting. But you also, this is kind of overshadowed that the tunnel opened today, and you got to drive through the new tunnel.
Yeah, it was by far the driest and warmest part of my drive today, because it's a tunnel.
Who pays when you drive through the tunnel?
Well, since it's free, because the tolls haven't started yet. The tolls won't go into effect until later this spring or summer, possibly May, June, July timeframe-ish, kind of what they're looking at. So it's free for the next couple of months. But I was driving the Cairo car, one of them, and we put a nice little video of me. Felix Bunnell, of all people, our historian, tagged along with me because he wanted to take part in real-life history, our first drive in the tunnel. But yeah, it was nice. I mean, the tunnel, it's a really nice facility. I mean, once you get over the fact it's 3 years late, more than, and hundreds of millions over budget, it is a really nice tunnel and a really nice
feat. I don't get over those facts,
by
the way.
I know you don't, and I don't either, but in terms of the facility itself, we have ourselves a really nice tunnel. Sure, it has one less lane capacity than the Alaskan Way Viaduct did, but we will get that back when Alaskan Way gets redone over the next couple of years. But yeah, it's really bright. The tunnel is well marked. There's a lot more room in there than you might anticipate. Way nicer than the Battery Street, way nicer than Mount Baker. It's well lit, and you feel safe in there driving this thing. Even, I mean, 45 miles an hour is the speed limit, but yeah, it's a nice facility. It's a nice tunnel.
Does it have a shoulder if a car breaks down?
Yep, we got a shoulder lane. Okay. We got a breakdown lane. Plus, we've got exits all over the place where you can, if something were to happen and you needed to get out of the tunnel, you could run up and get through one of these doors and get to a kind of an exit tunnel. So yeah, it's a little bit of a breakdown lane, so that should help as well. So yeah, it's nice. I'm not sure if I'd drive it once it had a toll on it, but we got a pretty good facility out of this.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting once traffic restores to normal, what happens. I would love it if people kept doing what they've done the last 3 weeks. And
it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, ride their bike. And it just leads me to the conclusion, I talked about this a little bit last week, Chris, that if we spent a tiny fraction of what we're spending on Sound Transit, for example, and if we put that into incentives for employers to make sure, you know, places with multiple outlets, banks, Starbucks, make sure that your employees work at the outlet that's closest to your home. You can do things like that. Provide tax incentives if you have employees who commute from home, like so many people are doing on this snow day today. There are so many things we could have done for a fraction of the cost that would have been so much more efficient in getting cars off the road and reducing gridlock. And so, you know, what we saw the last few weeks, I think, was validation of what I've been talking about for a long time.
Yeah, and it'll be hard to, I think, in some instances, to get all the numbers from, like, the private employers for what they did or how much of the public employees did different things to off-shift, work different shifts, work different days of the week, things like that. I know I talked to several employers on the front end, and I said, hey, is this something you can do more than the 3 weeks? And a lot of them said, we're stretched as it is to try to get it done during those 3 weeks. We don't think it's sustainable, but for some it might be. And if you found a bus route that you like that is better and you don't have to pay for parking or light rail or something that worked for you during those three weeks, why would you go back to what it is you're doing if you can't? That being said, I know there are plenty of people where transit does not work and never will, based on what they do for a living or how far out they go or what time their shift is ahead of the mass transit. But yeah, if you found something that worked, yeah, because I want to know where those 90,000 cars a day that use the viaduct went.
Yeah.
It was pretty spectacular. And yeah, I mean, pat yourself on the back if you did something different. And if you can keep doing it, do it. Because you're right. I mean, that cut traffic around the region significantly.
Yeah. Well, all you need is a 10% reduction in traffic and you go from gridlock to speed limit. And another thing they could do is have all government employees who do not work face-to-face with the public work either a swing or graveyard shift, and that would go huge to eliminating gridlock around here. So we'll continue to see how the snow affects things, how it interacts with the tunnel that's open today. Chris Sullivan, appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, anytime, Dorian. I think we would have gotten that bus out of the way.
Hey, at least we tried.
Yeah, we gave it the effort, but I guess I can understand the liability.
Yes.
Not necessarily your epitaph, but the liability there, pushing an articulated bus, with four dudes. Yeah.
Probably wise for the driver to not let us. Chris Sullivan, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
The Super Bowl was yesterday. I didn't have a chance to watch the commercials because I was hosting my big Super Bowl chili feed party. And, you know, I was trying to talk with people and be a good host during the commercials. But Brock Huard, he's going to break it all down for us. Coming up next, the Monday Monson Quarterback with Brock as the Dory Monson Show gets rolling.
It's the Monday Monson Quarterback.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
It is Monday afternoon, and it is the final football edition of the Monday Monson Quarterback for the season that ended yesterday. Brock Huard joins us. And before I get to the Super Bowl, you're here in the studio with me. I'm here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
These snow days that everybody gets.
Yep.
My wife gets a snow day today. My oldest daughter gets a snow day. My middle daughter, snow day. My youngest daughter, snow day. Everybody gets a snow day except me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get myself in trouble with your lovely wife and daughters, but I will tell you for a fact, back in Bristol, Connecticut, at the ESPN headquarters, at the mothership, like that we like to call it. Now, our radio station is not in any way like part of the mothership. We just work with them and utilize their brand.
Right.
But if you're an employee in Bristol, this is true. They have a list of essential employees and non-essential employees. And it may sound harsh, and it may be the Northeast, but that's how you're characterized. And on snow days, if you're on that essential list, you're in the building.
But isn't it just as challenging for an essential employee
yes.
to get in as for a non-essential?
Yeah, it sure is.
So then the non-essentials should be able to get there.
Well,
just as the essentials
they're
do.
They're the non-essentials in that building.
Man.
Yes.
When they make have budget cuts
uh-huh.
and you're on the non-essential
list. That's not the
list
you want to be on.
No.
No.
No, sir.
You want to get yourself and you want to even then say, no. I know I'm on that list, but I'm essential to your operation. I'll do whatever. I will say this. The hill that I came down this morning is now closed.
At 6 a.m.?
Before then even. Yes.
Yeah.
It's now got cones on it because it was a little treacherous for yours truly. But I made it down inch by inch by inch
good
to get
you.
Here.
So. Okay, so favorite snow day memory. Because snow days are for kids.
Yeah.
And mine are all from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
What's your very favorite snow day memory?
Yeah, just the one distinct memory I have. We were not a video gaming family. Like, it just, you know, we were, my dad taught, my mom stayed at home. I think we got a hand-me-down Atari system a lot later than everybody else. So we just played. But I remember one in particular that my neighbor across the street, Travis, he had like the newest Sega Genesis and the new game Contra that came out. And I remember we had a snow day. And I think we played Contra for like 6 hours.
You didn't play in the snow on a snow day?
We did plenty of that. I made plenty of snowmen. We threw snowballs at people, even at cars, little hellions and Piala back in the day. Did plenty of that.
Yeah.
But the distinct one that I have for some reason... I remember playing Contra for like 6 hours one snow day.
That does sound
way back when in Puyallup.
I wish I had a snow day today.
You're working and we're talking.
One time in Ballard, a friend of mine, he put a tow rope on the back of his Toyota. It was a Toyota Corona. And I put on my rock skis.
Corona or Corolla?
It was a Corona. It was before the Corolla, okay. I believe. And I put on my rock skis, and he put on chains and towed us all around Ballard. It was just unbelievably dangerous because we could have plowed into a curb that's hidden by the snow. You could have gotten dragged into a parked car.
Yeah.
But because it was kind of dangerous, it made it even more fun.
You were like Maverick.
Oh.
Yeah, Tom Cruise and Top Gun, weren't you?
Then and now.
Yeah.
All right, the New England Patriots are your Super Bowl champions. Bill Belichick, after the game yesterday, talked about his quarterback.
Well, nobody prepares harder than Tom. He has great anticipation and awareness, and he gets the ball quickly to the guys that have the best opportunity to make plays with it. So we know he's not going to make any yards with the ball in his hands. He's got to get it to somebody else, and he does that quickly and efficiently. So Tom's had a tremendous year, and again, has played great at the biggest times. The touchdown drive at the end of the this game and the touchdown drive last week in Kansas City and the start we had against the Chargers. So you just can't say enough about Tom Brady.
Okay, we've kind of acknowledged that Brady's the greatest of all time. Is Belichick?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about Belichick.
Greatest NFL coach of all
greatest
time.
Greatest NFL coach of all time, and he's closing the gap, I think, on John Wooden, on Red Auerbach, on Phil Jackson, on anybody else that you put on the list of the best ever. I think he's closing the gap. And the more that I watch him, and even listening to that cut, Dory, the more, and maybe it's just getting older, that the appreciation for those guys from the neck up that have an ability through their processing. You know, your buddy Dave Wyman, who you talk to every week as well, he loves to shoot down this genius thought, and they're football players, and how hard is football, and he kind of minimizes a lot of that. I don't, and I think my experience around Peyton Manning is part of that. It's Damon's experience, my older brother, who was in that system with Bill and with Tom. And their ability, their mental acuity, their ability to process is different than anybody else they've ever faced. And to do it for two decades, Tom Brady can't move anymore. I mean, his legs are gone. His arm is nowhere near what it used to be. But he can play and process this game so quickly. Bill Belichick can be there and spend 2 weeks and took apart the offensive, quote-unquote, genius. The number one offense in this league was embarrassed, humiliated.
Yeah.
Could not do anything.
Points.
And so I think those two men in particular, the database that they have and their functioning ability upstairs is just second to none.
Okay. I disagree. He's closing the gap with Wooden, who is the greatest of all time. John Wooden stands alone on top of that mountain, and everybody else is a pretender.
How many titles for Wooden?
Oh, gosh. I think 10, 9 in a row, 10 in 11 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like the NFL. NFL, you lose one game on your way to the Super Bowl,
yep,
you're done. But he lost three Super Bowls, Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time in basketball. He never lost in the finals. And once you get that opportunity to not let it go, to just grab it by the throat, that to me is, you know, those are the guys who are the all-time greatest.
Yeah, and it's a tough argument for me other than to say that look at their peers, look at anybody around them. You know, Michael Jordan won, what, six or so, and LeBron's won three. Guys, you know, Steph Curry and Durant now have won three. They're kind of closing that. They may win four or five before it's all said and done. And Curry's, what, 3-1 in finals? So, you know, he's kind of inching. Look at the comparison of what they've done in 18 years.
I know.
9 Super Bowl in 18 years. No one will ever, ever, ever do this again. Someone may catch Michael Jordan's 6. Probably not going to catch John Wooden's run. I mean, that was such a unique era and a unique run that he had. And he would probably be, I'd probably lose that argument. But Bill Belichick is closing the gap and has done things that will never be done in the NFL again.
And wasn't it also a validation for all the people who said, you know, the wrong team's in the Super Bowl, the Saints beat the Rams, the Saints would have given them a better game, but the refs took that game mm-hmm. from the Saints. It's hard for me to argue that one, too, because the Saints would have been far more competitive than the Rams.
Yes, I think they would have. Yeah, I think Drew Brees would not have been as rattled as Jared Goff was. I think they have more running game. I think Sean Payton on the other side is a much more experienced and a Super Bowl winning coach than Sean McVay, who said it flat out last night. Said, I got outcoached, and it will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And that's that stage that those men are on. And, I, you know, if you're the Rams, I think there's legitimate concern of, wow, we're going to have to pay our quarterback. We're going to lose offensive linemen. Right, this was our window of opportunity here where we had a cheap quarterback and everything else, and they just didn't capture it and wasn't even close yesterday.
And now they got the Seattle Seahawks nipping at their heels.
How did the chili go yesterday?
You know, it was good. Turned out really good, yeah.
A good party?
Yeah, we had about 35, 40 people.
Okay.
It worked out fine.
If this snow sticks around,
yeah,
what would you think about kind of reliving some of your childhood memories?
I wouldn't mind making a big snowman tonight.
No. If I put on the Highlander, I don't have a Corona, ooh, but I got the Toyota Highlander. Put on some chains, you put on some old skis, and we kind of...
In a heartbeat, I would do that. You come on out. Come on out to the homestead. Okay. We'll do it.
All right.
Okay, Brock Heward is the Monday Munson quarterback, and the New England Patriots are the greatest NFL team of all time. It's now no doubt about it. Okay, lots more straight ahead. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Super Bowl style. Rolls on, rolls on, rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
Love to hear your thoughts. Give us your neighbor-to-neighbor weather information, and we'll pass some of that along as well. It's the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. But, yeah, I'd like to keep up with what's going on all around the Puget Sound area. I just saw a live shot on our news partners, Cairo TV, and there's some light snow showers still going on around the region. So if that's happening in your neighborhood, let me know. We'll pass it along. We'll try to keep everyone posted. The tunnel opening this weekend, they did the ribbon cutting ceremony. I was reading the coverage at King 5. Four former Seattle mayors, Charles Royer, Greg Nichols, Mike McGinn, and Ed Murray, were in attendance at the ribbon cutting ceremony to witness the completion of a project that's over a decade in the making. Who thought? And I'm serious about this. Who thought it would be a good idea to invite a likely child rapist to the ribbon-cutting ceremony? Ed Murray was in the state Senate when this whole idea was hatched. Greg Nichols was the mayor when this whole idea was hatched. When they put together a plan that would be 3 years, more than 3 years behind schedule, and hundreds of millions of dollars over budget. But I can't believe how incestuous local government is. As I've talked about, there are a lot of members sitting on the Seattle City Council today who tried to conspire via text messages and emails that were obtained through public disclosure requests. They tried to conspire to keep Ed Murray to finish out his mayoral term when they all had overwhelming evidence that he was a child rapist. And Ed Murray gets invited to the ribbon cutting, who helped preside over this financial debacle. There are lots of members of Jenny Durkin's current staff making big six-figure deals who worked for Ed Murray. And the fact that they have not cleaned house at the city of Seattle when you had a conspiracy. You want to talk about the deep state. You had city government workers, elected leaders who were conspiring to try to figure out a way to keep a likely child rapist so he could figure out his term because they care about party more than children. And they worked to slam the victims, of the alleged victims of Ed Murray, to denounce them, to tell us about their criminal history, to tell us how they couldn't be trusted. And the victims I talked to, one of whom is dead from an overdose, no doubt in part because of how he was victimized again by elected leaders and government officials. But they were conspiring to keep what they all believed was a child rapist in office. And then he gets the honor of coming to the ribbon cutting yesterday for the new tunnel. That's, again, it just shows you the priorities of our city leaders. Leaders. Ed Murray's got a D next to his name. The LCR, likely child rapist, next to his name. They don't care much about that. And then I love this. I put this up on Twitter. Matt Gilbert, our Twitter follower friend, he went and participated in the fun run through the tunnel over the weekend, an 8K fun run. And all the people are gathered there for the start of the race, and they hung a big banner across the tunnel entrance to say that this was the start line and to welcome everybody to the first event to go through the tunnel. There was only one problem. They hung the sign backwards. So the go check it out on Twitter, on my Twitter, at Dory Monson. The sign with all the words was facing the front tunnel wall. The backside was blank, and that was facing all the runners. You only had one job. The Fastest 15 is coming up next.